And we are live.
Oh, hello, everyone.
Oh, hello, darling.
Yes.
Hello. Hello. Hi. I love doing this. But hi, all you BC WrestlePod nerds out there. And welcome to a live streamed edition of your cleanup crew review. The weekly AEW Rampage team is back once at it again to review the AEW Rampage from Friday, March 14th, 2024. I am El Jefe around these parts, Mikey. And joining me is my cleanup crew, brother, hermano, bestie, work husbando, like basically everything wrapped into one. El Butador the Second himself, Adolfo. Adolfo, how are we tonight?
Oh, thank you, Mikey. Thank you. However, for tonight, because I've been reduced to drinking tea, I will be known as Albert the Bunt Cake, because pinky's up.
Sure. Oh, my goodness.
So let's right, talk about Sir the Albert. Grappling. That occurred on Friday night. Yes. As if it was a rampage.
Oh my gosh, you are too much. I love it. I love it. Alrighty, so we're not going to waste any time. But really quickly, to do some housekeeping, we are streaming this, but you can find an edited version in the upcoming days, as well as other things over at the BC WrestlePod YouTube channel. You can follow us all over the social medias at BC WrestlePod. And you can also check us all our social partners with Next Level doing some really fun work. And you should probably go check it out, because currently they are having a contest to give someone a paid expense trip with Night 2 WrestleMania tickets involved into it. And so you got to go over to Next Level and you got to read those details. This is so much fun. It's a great time. It's fantastic. People, you can take us with you on the go, because we have audio versions of all our reviews. So we have podcast versions of everything that we got going on, which is super fantastic. And then, of course, last but certainly not least, if you want to meet us in person and come say hi, the BC WrestlePod boys are taking a trip to New Jersey WrestleCon, which will be taking place Saturday, May 18th and Sunday, May 19th. BC WrestlePod is going to have a table there. We're going to be selling merch. We're going to have some fun. So come say hi, talk to us, buy some merch, and then let us know how come you're not commenting in the comments.
That seems to be a thing. Yeah, that does seem to be a thing. Yeah.
But honestly, we're going to have a good time, and fingers crossed, hoping that the promoter, the player. So we'll see what happens with all that. But now we got housekeeping out of the way. Let's jump straight into this week's Rampage.
Rampage.
So, we opened up Rampage this week. We had a tag team match, which saw the Dark Order take on Orange Cassidy and Trent Barretta of the Best Friends. And you know what? This was a fun opener. This was your standard tag team match. As soon as I saw that these were the two teams competing, I was like, Orange Cassidy, yeah, and Trent are probably going to win this thing. But this was a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know, Orange Cassidy is a Rampage staple, a Rampage opener staple. I knew it was going to be fun. I knew it was going to be entertaining, which it was. I kind of bummed that yet again Dark Order gets the L on this. Though it was one of those matches that they did look. It wasn't a squash match. You know, they actually look good in this loss, in my opinion. Not really sure what the plan is with Orange Cassidy and Trent Barretta. Like when what's his face heals up, is Orange Cassidy going to tag out? Is this like, since losing the Intercontinental title, is this, Orange Cassidy's new shtick that he's going to be tag teaming. I don't know, but I did enjoy the match. It was a good match. A lot of great theatrics from the Dark Order. I mean, Evil Uno and John Hungy, just, you know, they're good. They're good. They make everyone look good. So.
Yeah, I'm kind of similar with you, Adolfo. I'm hoping that we start to develop something, you know, for Orange Cassidy, because I feel that he's just in a holding pattern until we figure out what his next big thing is since losing the international championship. But also, I don't know what's going on with Dark Order. We haven't really seen them too much as of late, yeah. And every time we do, they are losing all the time.
Yeah, well, I know that Evil Uno has his own wrestling promotion and wrestling thing going, so, you know, they might be tied up with that stuff, but you're right, we have not seen a lot of Dark Order. It's almost as if, like, we'll see them maybe once a month, because I feel like the last time we saw them was like once last month, and it was that really depressing Trios loss where they then backstage when Renee Paquette caught up with them, they're like, we don't know what the future of the Dark Order is. And I was like, sad panda. So
yeah, but again, this is a fun opener. Orange and Trent pick up the victory here, and yeah, I mean, there's not much else to say. We then move into a really fun segment of the Righteous. So I have missed the Righteous on Ring of Honor television, and I know we're maybe potentially bringing them up to AEW, which, you know, thankfully they have finally kind of rebuilt themselves after losing on that 2-on-1 handicap match for the ROH tag titles against MJF a couple months ago, which was horrible just from booking standpoint. But basically, the segment talks about how, in order to get over and to, for all the people saying that are trying to bury the Righteous, they have another thing coming, and they have a box of some sort. And I'm just saying, what's in the box?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure what's going on with all these AEW stars in their boxes. But it was a very interesting promo. I won't mind at all if the Righteous become a Rampage staple, kind of like how you have House of Black is kind of like a Collision staple, you know, and you have other wrestlers that kind of stay with us with one show. I think that the Righteous would fit perfectly with Rampage. They have been getting some reps in over at ROH. Not sure if this is like a full call up for them to be fully All Elite, or if this is just, you know, like a bouncing back and forth type thing. But what happened to their 2x4 with the flowers on it?
I have no idea. Maybe that's what's in the box. Yeah, who knows?
I guess. But yeah, so it was a good promo.
I like the promo. I agree with you. I would love to see the Righteous become a staple. If they want to be a Rampage staple, I'm here for it. But who knows? Spoiler alert, we also watch Collision. So, like,
yeah.
Which you got to wait for that review, because we'll talk about it then. But I'm super excited to see the Righteous moving forward. I think Vincent and Dutch are amazing, and I can't wait what else.
Yep.
Okay. We cut back from commercial, and then we have the cameras following Saraya and Harley Cameron. So they are backstage with Zack Knight, who then proceeds to beat up two people backstage. And then out of nowhere, Cool Hand Ange is back for revenge. And so then he starts a fight with Zack Knight, all the while Saraya is screaming her head off in the background of this whole entire thing. This was chaos. And I was like, I'm still not liking how we're presenting Zack Knight, because he's just been presenting as a meathead on this episode of Rampage. But I appreciate it. I still like it. And I love that cool hand. And just like, oh, no, we about to get this lick back and start fighting back after getting beaten up. I'm like, continuity. And then I also want to throw in, because we also got an exclusive via the social media, and Cool Hand Ange just goes off. He's just like, oh, they want to fight? We're going to get a fight. I'll see you on Collision. I'm like, oh, snap. We're going to be fighting in canon. It's going to be fantastic. I love this continuing storyline. This is probably one of my favorite things right now outside of Chris and Willow and Julia and Sky Blue. This has been a lot of fun, and I love that we have entered the next chapter with this. While I wish that Zach Knight is not being presented as so much of a meathead, I am here for including him into the storyline. I think this is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm still hooked in the storyline. I really like how it's been going. It's been hitting the beats that it has to hit, and you know, it's week in, week out. It has been intriguing. I agree with you, Mikey. I'm not happy with the way that they have been portraying Zach Knight, especially after seeing him on ROH. We talked about this last week, though. I don't think he needs to come off as yet another screaming meathead. I feel that a different characterization would be better. But still, it was a good promo, and I'm still hooked on this. I'm ready for the next in-ring portion of this story.
I am too. I'm enjoying what we're getting so far, and I look forward to what comes next. We then get a tag team match, which sees Mariah May teaming up with Timeless Toni Storm to take on some local talent in Elk MK and Kayla Sparks. This is a quick 2.5 squash match where Mariah and Time and Toni do their thing. Lots of hip attacks, kicking people in the face. Toni and Mariah May pick up the victory, and then everything that happened afterwards is the more important part, because Deonna Purrazzo comes out. She's standing up on the stage, and commentary lets us know that Deonna has found a partner for the tag team match against Toni and Mariah, and it ends up being La Mera Mera herself, Thunder Rosa. The two of them come down to the ring. Toni and Mariah book it, and Deonna gets on the mic real quick to state that I found a tag team partner, and I knew that you two were going to run away, so we will see you guys next week. And we are getting this tag team match on Dynamite this upcoming Wednesday. So I'm just happy to see Thunder be used more.
Yeah, I'm happy that the Deonna Purrazzo, Toni Storm rivalry is still in swing. I'm excited for this match. I'm excited for this match. Even the squash match that Toni Storm and Mariah May had, it was entertaining. I found it entertaining. I thought, if anything, it was a good place to showcase Mariah May. She got to show off her athleticism. Also, you know, some of her ring character, you know, working off Toni Storm, and I thought it was good. So Wednesday night's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes. And stay tuned, because we're going to have a special announcement at the very end in terms of Dynamite and Rampage for next week. So stay tuned for that. Moving on from here, we get a quick video package / vignette from Queen Aminata. And she talks a little bit about where she comes from, you know, being from West Ghana, Africa, and what being in the Ring of Honor women's television tournament means to her. And of course, Jesse hates it, but I am here for # Team Juicy. Jesse is not a fan. I have to say, I don't know if it's Toni. I don't know if it's other wrestlers. I don't know if it's people backstage, but Queen has been getting pushed a lot, and I'm not upset about it because I think she is super talented. She's 6-7 years of professional wrestling experience underneath her belt. And there's just something about her personality and her story that organically everyone can get behind. And I'm going to be completely honest, as much as I wanted to see Taya and Billy in the finals for the Ring of Honor television tournament, I would not be upset if it ended up being Queen and Billy in the finals, because I think that match is going to slap. And I'm a huge fan of Queen already, but this made me love her even more.
Yeah, I'm... we love the Queen in this household. Sorry, some of the tea went down the wrong pipe. Trying to kill me. I don't get this problem when I drink coffee. Anyway, in this household, we love Queen Aminata. And she, you are 100% correct. She's just had this very natural growth with the fans. It seems like every match she has, you just see her improve more and more and more. And if she doesn't get the ROH Women's TV title, I really hope that they, I mean, it's hard, but I hope that they find a place to inject her into the one of the woman's title stories, you know. It would probably be the TBS championship with Julia Hart, even though that the people vying for that, it's getting kind of a little cluttered there, especially with Mercedes back, or you know, have her be the next one to make a run for Toni Storm, and the women's championship, you know, but any which way, it would be nice to see her get some gold around her waist.
Absolutely. We go from something that I like to something that made me raise my eyebrow a la The Rock, because then we get introduced to the brackets for the AEW World Tag Team Championship tournament. So the basis of this tournament is that over the next couple of weeks, we're going to have this tournament because Sting and Darby Allin vacated the titles post Sting's retirement and Darby, you know, fighting Jay White, which, you know, we'll wait until Collision to talk about it. But it's so unfortunate, the news that came out, because the reason that Darby was written off television and now he can't do that anymore, unfortunately. So we shall see. Well, who knows at this point, but over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be getting matches to advance in the tournament. And then the finals will be happening at AEW Dynasty, the next pay-per-view, which is Sunday, April 21st. And as I looked at the bracket, I was confused by some of it. And I'm going to tell you why. So the teams that we ended up getting, there's a lot of them that I liked. However, the way that we set it up is weird. So the first matches that are going to happen are the wild card spots. So we get one on Collision, which is going to be the Infantry taking on House of Black. And the other wild card spot is going to be Best Friends versus the Don Callis family. Then we look at the other brackets. So on the left side, we have Private Party versus the Young Bucks. And the Undisputed Kingdom on that side of the bracket get a bye round. And so whoever wins between Don Callis family and Best Friends will go on to face the Undisputed Kingdom. Winner of that match goes on to face the winner of Private Party and the Young Bucks. And on the other side of the bracket, we have a returning Ricky Starks and Big Bill, I guess, which is interesting. We have FTR, then the Infantry, House of Black are in the other wild card match. And I'm just sitting here looking at this bracket, and I was just like, you made it so obvious. I'm like, it's going to be FTR and the Young Bucks at Dynasty. I'm like, I'm kind of disappointed with the teams we chose for this bracket, I'm not going to lie. But I would be a nice swerve if in the final, I would love to see Private Party and Top Flight in the finals. I think that would be a very compelling finals, especially since this is the story we've been telling. But unfortunately, I think we're getting Young Bucks and FTR for the gajillionth time, and that's underwhelming to me. And I feel like there are other tag teams you could have put in this position. Yeah, I'm just like, all right, well, Adolfo, what do you think?
Yeah, those brackets were interesting, to say the least. If I was a betting man, I would definitely have FTR meeting the Young Bucks, because it's FTR and the Young Bucks, you know. However, I too, you know, Private Party, they put the tag team division on blast when they came back. They have been pretty consistently winning. So I would be joyed to see them in the final. Is it going to happen with the new EVP thing with the Young Bucks? I highly doubt that. Although I don't know. Is this, you know, the older tag teams, are they going to put the younger tag teams over, some of these younger tag teams over, and, you know, kind of infuse some new energy into the tag team division for AEW? I don't know.
I don't know. I'm excited to see these matches nonetheless. I would love for it to be Private Party and Top Flight in the finals. However, I do believe that this is FTR and Young Bucks' game to make it to the finals. Also, what does that mean for, because we brought the rankings back, what does that mean for our number one, you know, ranked number one in the tag division, BCC? Is Mox hurt? Like, what's happening with all that? Are we waiting for something? Because they should be getting a championship match since they're number one. And we're having this tournament and no BCC inside this tournament either, which is really weird to see.
Well, you know, BCC has always been this, at least to me, it's always been this weird enigma, you know, because they have so many other irons in the fire. You know, you have Bryan Danielson going over to Japan to have matches in Japan. You have Mox and Claudio going over to Mexico to have their matches in Mexico. Who knows where Wheeler is? I guess he's still hurt. Who knows? But yeah, BCC is such a yeah. They're a mess.
This whole tag team division has kind of been thrown for a loop since, you know, Sting and Darby vacated the titles. It wasn't that long ago, and you made the tournament a little bit predictable. I'm hoping to be proven wrong. But who knows at this point? Then we get into, personally, my match of the night, Konosuke Takeshita versus Commander. I thought this was a fantastic match from both of them.
That was a great match.
So good. This was my match of the night only because I got everything I wanted. I got my flips and dips and tricks from Commander. Takeshita continues to prove why he is going to be a huge star longer he continues to wrestle, and the fact that this kid is still under the age of like 30 is impressive too when he does this. And I feel that Commander and Takeshita have worked together before. We've seen them have matches before in AEW. I am always thoroughly entertained, and Takeshita continues to prove that he is amazing in what he does.
Yeah, no doubt. When I saw Commander and Takeshita on the bill, I was really worried that it was just going to be one of those, you know, over-glorified squash matches. But it wasn't. It was a beautiful match. You know, it wasn't a five-star banger like Takeshita and Will Ospreay had, unfortunately. But it was still a beautiful match. And if you get a chance, If of anything, in this upcoming week, I would go back and watch that match because each of them did have their time to shine. You had Commander, you know, pulling off all of his high risk maneuvers. Takeshita was just, you know, proves again that he's a force. But this, most importantly, coming out of this match, I feel like both wrestlers got over coming out of this match. You know, it was a good match, very entertaining. And I don't, even though Commander got the L, I still think that he got over on this match.
This was a fantastic showing. As you mentioned, Takeshita does win, but nothing to take away from Commander either, because Commander is also really good. And I'm still looking forward to when Rey Fénix is ready to come back and then we can fully get Penta, Commander, and Rey all together, which would be fantastic. Or even if we get a reunion of Death Triangle with Pac and the Lucha Brothers, would be fantastic. But this was a great match, which leads into another promo that I really like too. We see the Professor Serena Deeb. She cuts another promo and she talks about her journey. She has been out for the last 8 months, which is crazy because it's been forever. And she's ready to take on any and all challengers. And she's here to prove why she's the best women's wrestler in the division, which in my head, I'm like, she's not wrong because technically she is the best. But like we said before, I'm hoping that she's working on her character as well, because once she finds that niche, she's going to be a threat in the women's division, both care on the mic and in the ring, which is fantastic. I love me some Serena Deeb.
Yeah. I want to see her back in the ring. You know, she doesn't have to do any more spots. Like I just want to see her in the ring. Well, I only got to see her in one match so far. So, you know, come on, you know, give us more. Like I feel like currently the AEW women's division is kind of going through a metamorphosis, especially, and again, I hate to pound this drum, but you know, with Mercedes Moné, officially in AEW now, officially her face is shown. You know, I feel like we're going to get a lot more women's stories. They're going to be put out in the forefront. And wrestling wise, you know, Serena Deeb, she's very entertaining to watch. And she does a lot of things that your stereotypical woman's wrestler doesn't do. And that is a lot of those, submission moves and whatnot, and she flows like poetry with that. So just like, put her in the ring. Let's go. We're ready.
Yeah, I agree with you. Which then leads us into our main event of the evening. This is a 6-man tag where we see the Undisputed Kingdom, which is being represented by our international champion Roderick Strong, as well as our Ring of Honor tag team champions, The Kingdom, which is Mike Bennett and Matt Taven, taking on the team of Top Flight and Action Andretti. I really enjoyed this match. It was what I expected in terms of being quick paced, especially on the side of Top Flight and Action. Yep. But it was nice to see the Undisputed Kingdom be able to continue to wrestle and to be in the ring more, as it seems that we're still trying to wait for an actual feud for them to happen, you know, now that Revolution is over.
Which is weird because there's more than enough people that they've rubbed the wrong way. So it's not like there's not anyone that would be gunning, at least for revenge. You know what I mean? But
and kind of crossing the AEW streams a little bit too. I initially thought, you know, once we got Roddy the belt, then we would have, I don't know, the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn or even Bullet Club Gold come after them, because both groups have beef with Undisputed Kingdom, because Bullet Club Gold, especially Jay White, got attacked by them when this whole the devil thing happened. And then also the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn got attacked with Anthony Bowens getting thrown through a pane of glass when they decided to help MJF leading into Full Gear. And then we seem to kind of drop it, because now that Bullet Club Gold and the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn are now feuding with each other, it seems, after what happened at Big Business, which is really weird to say and really weird to see. And I'm just trying to figure out, so you made the Undisputed Kingdom. You revealed them to be the devils and whatnot. But so far, yes, Roderick is now champion. However, we don't know what we're doing with him. The Kingdom are your ROH tag team champions, and we have not seen them in Ring of Honor. And who knows how long at this point. Wardlow just lost the championship match he had against Samoa Joe, so what's going to happen with it? And we had to resort to putting Adam Cole in pre-tape promos because he got destroyed by Swerve and Samoa Joe 2 weeks ago on the mic.
Hey, I thoroughly enjoyed that pre-made promo. I will sit for story time with Adam Cole any day.
I'm glad you liked it. Because, spoiler alert, check out the review for the full details, but the consensus was we did not.
Meh. You all don't know art. That's what it is.
Well, here's the thing. I think I would have liked it more had Malakai Black didn't do anything. If Malakai Black did not do that similar thing before he left the other company, before coming to AEW, I would have been all invested. But I was like, bro, this is just a watered down Malakai Black promo. I was like, it is what it is. But the Undisputed
match on Rampage.
Yeah, back to it. I thought this was a fantastic main event. This is a fun main event for Rampage. Action and Top Flight continue to be your fast-paced young team. And I was really happy to see the Undisputed Kingdom keep up. I will keep saying this. I was like, Matt Taven is just so good. Like, he is just so good in the ring. Yeah, him and Mike Bennett are probably my favorite tag team right now.
Yeah.
They are such a good tag team.
Yeah. Action Andretti and Top Flight, again, proving to be a Rampage staple. They know how to get the crowd going. And the Undisputed Kingdom worked really well with them. The story that was told, I totally just had a complete the story that they told in the ring was really good. I wish there was a little bit more at stake, especially for a main event, especially because we are trying to do something with Undisputed Kingdom and we are trying to do something with Top Flight and Action Andretti, which Top Flight and Action Andretti, like, could y'all just, I love y'all, pull the trigger, just become a trios team, please. Just so we can just call y'all like Action Flight or something like that. And we don't have to go through the rigmarole of Top Flight and Action Andretti, you know, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, no, it was a great main event. It definitely cemented the Undisputed Kingdom as heels. You know, they got the, if memory serves me correctly, and I've been watching a lot of wrestling, so my old man brain might be scuttered, but I think the way that they got the win was, through chicanery.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, that would be a thing. Hang on, I have my extra notes on my phone because I was writing and I was typing. So as we look at this, let's do this thing.
Yeah, I want to say it was chicanery that led into a low blow.
I mean, that's been a common thing across a lot of the wrestling this week, which has been very, very interesting. NXT probably had my funniest version of it, which was hilarious. But let's see. Springboard 450 from Andretti. Bennett gets the save. Andretti slips out of the spike pile driver and cleans house. Actually, no chicanery because only to get spike pile driven anyways. And then the end of heartache for the win by Roddy.
Okay. That's what it was. Yes, that's what it was. I will admit that ending did seem a little short.
Yeah, it was a little... Yep. Short.
and also it kind of felt like they were protecting Roddy a little bit too.
I feel that we've been protecting Roddy since, you know, he announced himself to be facing Orange for the title at Revolution like 6 weeks before the pay-per-view. which had me excited. And we've already said it during the Revolution review that as each week went on, it kind of like made me less interested. And I'm happy that Roddy is champion, but I'm hoping not just for him, but the rest of Undisputed Kingdom, we start to have more storylines, because it seems that we're just spinning our wheels, and I don't want us to just continue to stay in this weird stasis until Max comes back, like MJF comes back, yeah, whenever that is.
Yeah, they have,
if we're waiting for MJF to return, I'm like, why?
Yeah, they had some great momentum. It is starting to peter off. Don't wait for MJF, you know, go to plan B. Again, there's more than enough people that are pissed at the Undisputed Kingdom that can make it an interesting story, to then like climax with MJF coming back. You know what I mean? But let's definitely not. Let's keep our foot on the gas with Undisputed Kingdom and their storyline. So.
I hope so, because, you know, with Swerve being in the title scene still, and it's going to be Swerve and Joe for the next couple, like, month or two, we literally have nothing else for Undisputed Kingdom, because, like I said before, Bullet Club Golds and the Acclaimed are feuding with each other, so that takes them out, and then MJF is still out for who knows how long, so we're kind of just sitting there. We'll see what happens with all this, but Adolfo, that does bring us to the end of this week's Rampage. So let's go into our ratings, and then I will get through our special announcement. So, Adolfo, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you rate this Rampage this week?
I'll give it a 7. I was going to give it a 6 out of 10 empanadas, but... seeing how at the end I kind of blinked and was like, that was an hour. Why did that seem shorter? I think that that's a good thing. none of the promos hung too long to make it uncomfortable. And all the matches, you know, went in, did their thing and went out. And they were all entertaining. So 7 out of 10.
I'm going to also give it a 7 out of 10. I thought this was a fun Rampage for sure, though it did feel like it was a little bit short on the weird side of things, which is interesting, but I thought it was fun. What kind of docked some points for me is the fact that we're kind of teetering with some storylines as well. And we're still trying to figure out where we're going in certain directions. But I thought this was fun. So 7 out of 10 as well. All right. So now we made it to the end. Before we sign off for the evening, special announcement time. So this upcoming week, due to, I'm going to say, either basketball or something, is kind of booting Rampage off on its normal Friday slot.
One of the other sports balls.
So... any other sports balls, honestly, because that's normally why we don't get certain shows on certain days of the week, especially when there's sports involved, especially since we're in the middle of March Madness. Yeah. But AEW announced that this upcoming Wednesday, it is going to be a special 3-hour block of AEW programming as they are combining Dynamite and Rampage. So normally... we do reviews on Saturday/Sunday, either live on Saturday or the edited review goes up on a Sunday.
Or live on Friday.
Or live on a Friday. So those are usually your dates, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. But because Rampage is going to be on Wednesday, we thought about how we were going to do this. And upon some backstage scenes and talking with some of the hosts, I am super excited. We are announcing a 1-week Worlds Collide event, where the Just Three Gents review team that reviews AEW Dynamite will be colliding with the Cleanup Crew review for Rampage. And so myself, Adolfo, JVL, and the Professor, are all four of us are going to be reviewing the special 3-hour block of AEW programming. So we will be covering Dynamite and Rampage together. So this is going to be a one-time event. You don't want to miss it. Get your non-existent tickets, because it is going to be a review for the ages. Because when the four of us get together, forget about it.
It's kind of like the Avengers, but not with a bunch of high money CGI and not as good story writing. But we have fun.
I'm super excited, make sure you tune into that review, because it's going to be a good time for sure. I'm super excited. It's going to be a lot of fun. But me and Adolfo are going to get up on out of here because we have a few things that we need to take care of. But so we got some business to talk about before we log off for the night. But for myself, Adolfo, you know, the cleanup crew here, as well as the rest of the BC WrestlePod boys, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, stay Biconic, and more importantly than everything, remember, you deserve to finish your story. We will see you for the special AEW block next week. But until then, ta-ta for
Billy
now.
Starks.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another Vibe Tribe production. What's going to happen next time? Well, you're going to have to tune in to find out. But until then, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, and as always, make sure that you keep the good times rolling. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you next time.